This is the week of prayer for Christian unity. So there will be a special service this afternoon in St. Cuthbert's Parish Church at 3 o'clock. And it won't be so much a formal service, it's more in the hall around cups of tea and tables, having fellowship together, all the churches together. So you're all welcome at 3 o'clock this afternoon. You're welcome to have a cup of tea after this service in the small hall. And I remind you that today is the deadline for the next edition of the parish record. So any items, please, to Audrey today. I commend to you all the intimations, but I pick out Wednesday at 11, midweek worship. The Guild on Wednesday night are having a Burns night with George and Michael. And on Thursday, we have our congregational prayer time at 10:30. And on Friday, we have the Christian education starting up again. Every Friday in Audrey Scott's house, we have an informal get-together, and we discuss whatever's in anybody's minds that week. And we try and apply the Bible to that. So if you'd like to come and have a social night, a fun night, a learning from each other night, where we deepen our faith and where we grow in faith, then please come to Audrey's any Friday night, 7 o'clock. I just heard this week that the Reverend Stuart Price, a former minister here, has passed away. He was living in Bridge of Allen, and he died around Christmas time, so the funeral's already passed. It's just I only heard about it this week. But we think about his family at this time. These are all the intimations. So on this week of prayer for Christian unity, it's slightly misnamed because we already do have unity. We are one in Christ. We join together as brothers and sisters, and we say together, Our Father. So we celebrate the unity we do have. We just seek to outwork that unity more and more. So let's celebrate. Let's sing hymn 420, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Her Lord. Thank you. Such unity as we do have is not within ourselves. It's in Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you this Sunday for uniting us together as your family, for making us into brothers and sisters, for binding us together in your love. Though we are very different from each other, you weave us together like a tapestry or a carpet woven from many different threads. Left to ourselves, we're like a fragmented jigsaw made up of broken, fragmented pieces. But in your love, you put us together and you make a whole picture. We thank you for constituting us as your rainbow people, all types and colors and opinions and personalities, but together as a sign, showing the world how to live together in harmony. We praise you and thank you for giving us a place in your great mosaic, the church, the one church of many varieties and denominations, the worldwide church, the church of Jesus Christ down through the centuries, the new Israel, like the old Israel, the people of God. We remember how the Israelites were a broken, beaten, dispirited, fragmented bunch of nobodies, slaves in Egypt. But you saved them in the Exodus. You bound the people together into one body. You brought them through the wilderness times into your promised land. You were their God and they were your people. You shared their ups and downs. You graciously allowed them to share in your life. We remember how you called a mixed bag of disciples and you bound them together in your love. Even when they all forsook you and fled, you never forsook them. You came back to them and built up your church, the new Israel. We thank you that then and today, we too are living members of the church, the same church, the body of Christ, the one flock of the Good Shepherd, living stones making up a living building whose cornerstone is yourself, and cemented together in love. Lord, forgive us when the cracks appear in our relationships with you and with others. Help us when the gaps widen between us and you and others, when we stop speaking to each other, when we sulk, when we nurse our wrath to keep it warm, when we bide our time awaiting the chance to pounce. Forgive our divisions. Help us when the walls of friendships and family life and society begin to crumble. We thank you for your promise of forgiveness and your readiness to help. Your sins are forgiven, rise and walk. Lord, help us to walk together as a pilgrim people, always keeping our eyes fixed upon you. Help us to catch your vision of a united world, living in true shalom, peace and harmony, reconciled to each other and to yourself. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. And how are you today? All right? You're good, right? Well, we're thinking about the week of prayer for Christian unity, being together as a body, as a team, as a family, as a group. They say that the perfect committee is 15 people. To get an idea to happen takes about 15 different skills, And you can't expect one person to have all the skills in the world. So if you get a group of people together and they all had the different skills needed, things would happen. Did you know that if you took a potato from the ground to end up with a microwave frozen chip, you would need 100 different stages in the process. To do anything, it's a long way from the first idea to actually getting it to happen. And you would need a lot of different skills. So I want to just show you something about that. I need 8 volunteers. Right, just come out. 1, 2, 3. Can I get other 5? Any age? No. Four. 5. Don't be shy. You can all join in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7. One more. Thank you. Right. Imagine then, this is the perfect committee. And they put their heads together and they have a bright idea all the way through to it happening. So, in the very beginning, who will be number one? Right, Connor, you be number one. You hold this up. For anything ever to happen, somebody has to have a bright idea. Why don't we do that? This is called the inventor. And then someone that says, Abbott, do you think we could manage to do that? So then you need a researcher to say, well, we might invent the oven chip, but would anybody eat any? So the research, is there any demand for it? And then you would need the planner. Right, let's say we go with this bright idea. Someone's got to plan how we go about it. Then we need somebody who's the motivator. That's the person that gets everybody else excited about this. And we've got a new project, bright idea, done a bit of research on it, we've planned it. Now let's get folk buzzing about it. Then you've got to advertise. And then you've got to sell it. You've got to produce it. I put that the wrong way around, but then you need someone to organize the production and all the different things, the chairperson. So when they have their next meeting, they'll say, how's the advertising getting on? How's the sales coming on? And how's the production coming on? Actually, there's 15 stages, but I'll settle for 8 at the moment. So you can see how in any idea about anything, there are different skills, and no one person can do them all. This would apply to the church as well. If we want ever to do anything, we'll need to do a wee bit of all of these and a few other tricks. Now, can I ask another 4 folk to join the line? Can you just put your cards down, and I'll give you new ones. Can we get 4 others? Anybody? Two to go. Oh, don't be shy. You've just to hold up a card. Right, well done. Thank you. What I've said about in business, trying to get a potato to become a microchip oven chip, would apply in church life as well, but it also applies in family life. So I want you to meet a particular family. This is the Tate family. So first we have, can you hold that one? You're not Connor now, you're Dick. This is Dick Tate. We have these people in every family, the people who dictate to other people what they should be doing. And then we have his sister, Rotate, who always shoves the jobs round everybody else to save them doing it, followed by Agitate, who's always causing a little bit of bother and an annoyance, which gets through to the other one of Irritate. There's always people with bright ideas that we don't quite agree with, and we've just to sort of live with. Quite closely related now to Hesitate. When Dictate came up with the idea that you should all be doing this, Rotate passed it along to Agitate. Agitate and Irritate both annoyed folk with pushing it. Hesitate wasn't so keen on the idea. And Vegetate takes it even further and does absolutely nothing about the idea. You've got Imitate, who thinks that maybe the neighbours do it better than we do, and we could copy them. Then there's Cousin Devastate, who maybe tries to do the new ideas, but it ends up in a bit of a pickle. Potentate is closely related to Dictate. They throw their power about. Facilitates a more gentle person that sort of tries to hold the family together and keep it all going. Cogitate is the thinker in the family. They think about it and think how we can improve and streamline what we're up to. And then there's Meditate. It's a bit like Mary in the Christmas story. She thought about these things. By the time all the family are doing all their teething, Meditate tries to lie down in a quiet room. We could go on, but anyway, you get the drift that in any group of people, it takes all types, and they sometimes get on each other's nerves, but they sometimes can work together, and they sometimes even achieve something at the end of the day. So whether it's in your family, whether it's in the congregation, whether it's in the community, whether it's in business, at any level, God's idea is to have a happy family where we're all pulling together and using the differences for a strength. If all the flowers were the same and all the ice cream was the same flavor, it wouldn't be such a rich world. So let's enjoy our differences, pull them together, and harness them for God's glory. Right, thank you very much for participating. Right, thank you. Right, just stick, it's okay. Any order. Thank you. Right, thank you. Now let's sing together. I've forgotten. Yeah. Bind us together. What else? I should have known. Number 54 in Mission Praise, bind us together. Thank you. us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love. Only one God, there is only one King. Only one body, that is why we sing. Together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love. The glory of God, purchased by His precious Son. One with the right to be clean, for Jesus the victory has won. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from John chapter 15 and reading from verse 5. John 15 at verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire where they are burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish and you will have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love one another just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures, and so the Father will give you whatever you ask him for in my name. This then is what I command you, love one another. And reading from the Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John, chapter 4, at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world, so that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us. And at verse 19, we love because God first loved us. If someone says he loves God but hates his brother, he's a liar. For he cannot love God whom he has not seen, if he does not love his brother whom he has seen. The command that Christ has given us is this: whoever loves God must love his brother also. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together Mission Praise number 1, A New Commandment. And since it's a short one, let's sing it twice through. Number 1. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. This is the week of prayer for Christian unity. We already do have unity, we just need to show it more. This afternoon you're invited to come to St. Cuthbert's Church at 3 o'clock for a time together where the Christians love one another. Christian unity is about the whole of the Church of Jesus Christ and all its branches, recognizing we are one tree and our relationship with each other. We don't meet every Sunday together, but there are times we get to meet together. But Christian unity is also about the unity within a congregation. It's also about the unity within a Christian family. The human predicament is that each person is a bit broken sometimes. We can be two people ourselves and war with ourselves. We can also be divided between ourselves and other people, within the family, within the community, within the world. And we can also be divided as a human race between ourselves and our God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that there's a healing for all of those brokennesses. We can be made whole within ourselves, in our relationships with other people, and between ourselves and our God. That is true shalom, true peace, true wholeness and health. And that's what we're thinking about today. Jesus is interested in all of it. He's interested in each of us personally and all of us together. The shepherd cares for each sheep and he cares for the flock. We have a Father in heaven who cares for each child and for his whole family. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, and love yourself appears 6 times in the Bible. It's a very recurring verse. God's idea is that the whole world would be a happy family, that everybody would love each other as he loves them. God loves the groom, and God loves the bride, and God smiles when the bride and the groom love one another. And there's a perfect love triangle. God loves you, God loves the person next to you, and when you love the person next to you, the triangle is completed. If you think of the central heating system, you turn the valves and the water flows. God is the boiler house. He pumps out the love. We keep the valves open and God's love flows in us and through us to each other. What a wonderful vision for the world. And we aspire to it. We sometimes feel it and get it, and sometimes we fail to manufacture it. We don't even manufacture it, we just have to let it. If we did nothing, God's love would flow through us, and to others and from others to us. We have to do things to block God and his ambitions for this world. But we do. What's the problem at the human end? That God doesn't get what he wants, this world of love. For one thing, Scotland is very individualistic. The key words today are me, my, and mine. My rights, my opinions, look after number one. But without being that extreme, we also have things like, we've got very good neighbours. They're very quiet. They don't interfere. They keep themselves to themselves. That used to be the definition of a bad neighbour. We kind of like everybody just to stay their distance and not come too close. Also, T.S. Eliot had a poem in which he had the line, preparing a face to meet the faces that we meet. Preparing your face to meet the faces that you meet. We all do it. We hide our emotions. We don't show our feelings. We bite our lip. We keep our thoughts to ourselves. We play our cards close to our chest. We don't like to wear our heart on our sleeve, you see. We keep a discreet distance. And we've even made all of that a virtue. Jesus challenges all of these things. Jesus burst onto the scene and butted into life. He interfered in people's day-to-day business. He went up to Zacchaeus. He went over to blind Bartimaeus. He went to the man at the pool of Bethesda. They didn't ask him, he butted in. He engaged with people. He looked right through them and he asked, how are you doing? And fine wasn't enough. He still goes around encountering people. Jesus wore his heart on his sleeve. You could see Jesus weeping buckets of tears at Lazarus's grave. You could hear him belly laughing with the common people, the tax collectors even. You could see him sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. You could see him just really angry, cleansing the temple. We Scots also have an issue with independence. And I'm not talking the Battle of Bannockburn or the SNP. I'm talking about it's my independence that keeps me going. As the woman said, and then her daughter said, it's her independence that keeps me going in circles. We give very generously if there's ever a crisis. We're gracious givers, but we're not so gracious receivers. Ask me to give, fine, but ask me to receive, no way. We hate to be dependent, hangers-on, cling-ons, scroungers. But we go to the other extreme of being independent, and nobody can get near to hug a porcupine to help someone. What about interdependence in between the extremes, where I help you when I'm strong and you help me when you're strong? And when we help each other, the world goes round. But if it's all one way, the world grinds to a halt. John Donne said, "No man is an island unto himself." There can be no Robinson Crusoe Christians on their own desert islands. Isolation is a tragedy. It's not a virtue. It's not God's way. He put us on this planet to help each other. He arranged we'd be born into families, groups. Every image for the church in the Bible is a corporate image. We're a salvation army. We're an ark. We are living stones. We are branches of the vine. The family of God. Corporately, interdependent, helping each other where and when we can. God rejected isolation. Otherwise, we'd all have our own desert island. God didn't want his isolation. He didn't want to be God without us. And he didn't want us to be us without him. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. And we'll be happy together. When you go your own way without God, you'll get lost. You'll be in the wilderness. And him without us, he doesn't want to bear the thought. And he doesn't allow us. He wanted us to be creatures that in ourselves were like him. Gregarious, outgoing. That we too would make connections and relationships. That we too would thrive on relationships and connections. Jesus, in his 33 years on earth, spent 30 years in Nazareth in one particular family, Joseph and Mary's family. He surrounded himself with close friends. He showed his feelings. He asked for help. He asked for a drink of water from the woman at the well. He exposed himself and all his vulnerabilities to people. He showed that he was hurt. He showed when he was happy. He exposed himself on the cross, very vulnerable. And he reached out to all sorts of people in all sorts of ways. He broke the taboos of his day. He would speak to a woman at a well. He would speak to Samaritans, to children, to thieves on a cross, publicans and sinners, prostitutes, terrorists, the lepers, the untouchables. Think what that would be in today's terms. He would speak to the social lepers, to the asylum seekers. to the paedophiles, to the drug pushers. The creed says that Jesus descended into hell. There's nowhere that's a no-go area. He would reach to any lengths to reach anybody. Love is not just biting your lip and not saying a bad word. Love is not just not saying or doing something offensive. Love is a very powerful thing of really experiencing someone in their shoes, where they're at, accepting them and getting alongside them, and touching them. We Scots also suppress feelings, hold back from relating, and in doing so, restrict our own humanity. It makes us less than the creatures we were designed to be. We block that infinite flow of love that God would pour through our pipes. You can only put through a pipe to the size of the pipe. If it's a very small, tight, small bore pipe, you can't put a lot of liquids through it. If it's a bigger pipe, you can put more through it. God is limited to the pipe size that we are. But God can help us to be a bigger pipe size. I've had this conversation many times in the parish. I'm very lonely, Mr. Noble. Would you like a friend? No, I don't think so. Why would they say that? Because they know that to get a friend comes at a certain price. For God to widen the bore of our pipe is to change us fundamentally. To have a human being close to us affects us. It takes time. They make us do things we wouldn't otherwise have thought of doing. Who knows where it leads? You get involved, and the rippling consequences can go anywhere. Yes, there is a cost. But consider the cost of not doing that. You lose friends. You live without friends. You lose what friends can bring. Affection. Support. Two brains are better than one. Widening of us. Becoming the creature God designed us to be. Becoming more Christ-like. And if we can shut people out, we can also shut God out. It pays us to have the inconvenience of God in our life. It's not an inconvenience in the end, is it? It enriches us. It expands us. We become maybe even unrecognizable to ourselves and to others, transformed creatures. When people fall in love and then they go and get married, yes, they do change from when they were single. Jesus invites us in all our tentativeness and hesitation. Go on, love one another as I have loved you. Love me, let me love you. Let my love flow in you and through you. Let this become a more loving place to live. Our problem is that we hesitate because we're torn in two directions. On the one hand, we want to open our home and give hospitality. But on the other hand, we like to pull up the drawbridge and be in our castle and safe and secure and the knowledge no one will knock at the door. On the one hand, we want to give people a lift on the journey of life. On the other hand, we don't want to be hijacked and taken who knows where. We love to tell someone about our pains and sorrows and get a sympathetic ear. But we don't want to give away all our prime secrets. We love it when someone prays for us and we feel good. We love when people pray for us and we love to think that God will hear that prayer. But on the other hand, we've a built-in resistance to praying. There is no humanity and no Christianity without being really human beings together with each other and with Jesus. I'll give the last word to the Bible. Let us love one another because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. But the unloving know nothing of God, because God is love. Since God is love, we also ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he doesn't love God. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Whoever loves God must love his brother and sister. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for creating the life that we know, where we are surrounded by people who know us and who love us and who care. And we thank you for the joy of being able to love and to care for others. You know that sometimes we are very hesitant to do the very things that we know are good for us. Just give us your strength, your courage, your wisdom, and your love and sensitivity to be better at loving one another. Amen. Let's sing together from your hymn sheets, We Are One in the Spirit.
Christians by our love,
Christians. Someone anonymous wrote these lines. I went out to meet a friend, and I couldn't find a friend anywhere. But I went out to be a friend, and I found friends everywhere. Let us pray. Lord, you know that people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Help us to love them anyway. You know that if we do good, people will accuse us of ulterior motives. But help us to do good anyway. If we're successful, we'll win false friends and true enemies. Help us to succeed anyway. You know that the good that we do today may be forgotten tomorrow, but help us to do good anyway. You know that honesty and frankness make us vulnerable, but help us to be honest and frank anyway. You know that the biggest man or woman with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest man or woman with the smallest ideas, but help us to think big anyway. And you know that people favor the less privileged, but follow the more privileged. But help us to fight for the less privileged anyway. Lord, you know that what we spend years building may be destroyed overnight, but help us to build anyway. You know that people need help, but they may attack us if we do help. But help us to help them anyway. Lord, you know that if we give the world the best that we have, we may be kicked in the teeth. But help us to give the best anyway. And having done our best, help us to leave the rest to you and history and the future. And Lord, hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Gloria Smith. We pray for Duncan and Ruth Carson, for Jim Erskine and Molly Aitchison. We pray for Alan Mackay, Evelyn Porter, Beth McCracken, Irene Crozier. We also pray for your comfort and peace upon those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray for the Reverend Stuart Price's family. We pray for Derek Gallagher's family. His funeral's on Tuesday. We pray for the family and friends of Karen Stalker, whose funeral was this past week. And we pray for Stephen Spears, mourning the loss of his dad. We pray for Heather and the rest of the family. We pray for people in the Philippines, where a volcano has been erupting and many people have had to be evacuated. We pray for Russia, where the whole government and the Prime Minister has resigned this week. We pray for people in Australia facing bushfires and now facing flooding. We pray for America, where the people are impeaching their own president. We think of global warming. It keeps on rising. Cocaine consumption continues to break all records. In China, there's a new mystery illness starting to spread around the world. And we give thanks that in Northern Ireland, the Stormont Parliament is now back in business. And we pray for your blessing upon the work that it does. We pray for your church. As a presbytery, we pray for Stevenson High Kirk and the Reverend Scott Cameron. But we pray for our own congregation and for all your people around the world. And we pray for your blessing on the churches working together here in Saltcoats. We pray for Libya under attack by warlords. We pray for protesters in Lebanon and Hong Kong. We pray for Newfoundland under a snowfall, a record snowfall. Lord, be with your people here and everywhere. And may we bring your love to bear into a needy world. Amen. Our closing hymn is "We Worship God in Harmony." It's also on the back of your hymn sheet.
Christ our Lord and King, Jesus Christ our Lord, the Spirit makes us all as one in Jesus Christ our Lord.
And now may God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you light to guide you, courage to support you, and love to unite you, now and evermore.